You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Coming up on episode 21 of the RedCafe.net podcast, we'll be looking back at the victories over Wigan and Hull. We'll have all the regular features of the week, plus we'll be discussing our team of the decade, and a Leeds fan will join us on the line to discuss this weekend's FA Cup tie.
Welcome to the RedCafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net, or alternatively, post your opinion on the RedCafe.net forums.
Welcome to episode 21 of the RedCafe.net podcast. It's me, Stephen Darwin, as always. Dan and Dob join me. Good Christmas, guys.
Yeah, it was very good, thanks, mate. Got everything that I wanted. So Santa came to my house, so it was good.
What did you get then, Dan?
I got a nice little iPod, which is it's pretty good. I've got loads of smelly stuff, which is completely necessary, so it's good.
I was going to send you a bottle of a well-known deodorant, but I see
you really?
Don't bother anymore. Of course I was.
Good Christmas to you, Dob.
Yeah, it was not too bad. Not too bad at all. I think it was one of the stereotypical Christmases where you have too much to eat, a little bit too much to drink, and you end up falling asleep in front of the TV while playing a well-known football management game as well, which was quite good.
About you, Steve?
Yeah, all good. Just spent mainly with the family. Didn't do too much. Like Dob said, too much food, a bit too much drink. Felt the hangover on a Boxing Day, but yeah, it was all good. Guys, we'll kick off the show by looking at the game that went ahead tonight. Wigan at home, 5-0 win. Dan, you were there at Old Trafford. Emphatic victory, wasn't it? And, well, everything just seemed to fall into place, didn't it?
Yeah, it was a fantastic performance right from the first whistle. We dominated Wigan, who didn't really turn up, to be honest with you. A few standout performers. I thought Raphael was really good. The assist for one of the goals was especially pleasing. I think it was Rooney's goal. And Valencia as well was brilliant, as you know, to compliment on the right-hand side. So, yeah, it was all good.
Dob, what did you make of it? Dan alluded to the sort of main players that were involved there. Antonio Valencia, terrific game. He had a hand in three of the goals, didn't he? And he scored himself as well. Raphael really is looking like a real prospect, isn't he? I guess maybe if he just improves his positional sense and sort of that bit more defensive awareness, and he could really become a real top fullback. I mean, going forward, we've seen what he's all about. But yeah, top performance from him tonight as well. Wayne Rooney again, fantastic. So yeah, overall, really pleasing, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, I think you're saying about Raphael going forward, he's Brazilian. That's what they're taught to do, taught to go forward. I think him. As the years sort of go on and it gets so it'll get coaching for the defensive positioning and things like that. But I mean, he's definitely got the raw ability to be a great fullback. He's like Evra, but on the right hand side. I think that's what he'll end up becoming. And Valencia, I was very, very impressed with him. Very, very impressed. I mean, when I was watching it, there was just times in that game where Wigan just could not get anywhere near us, and like Cusack had pretty much nothing to do, although he did make one really good save sort of quite late on in the second half. The ball was set quite close to him, but it was a great reaction save from him as well. Got to mention Carrick and Fletcher back in their normal positions, and again sort of dominated as well. Sort of Carrick stroking the ball around, sort of quite calm, and Fletcher being Fletcher and just running about and getting in everybody's way. And I was quite impressed with the way he was passing the ball tonight as well. And Wayne Rooney, he made up for Saturday, and he was magnificent tonight. Absolutely brilliant. He was everywhere.
And Dan, it was nice to have a settled back four as well. I mean, now we've got Raphael back in there, Brown's back in with Vidic, Patrice Evra on the left. It's looking quite solid now at the back, isn't it, considering all the problems we had?
Yeah, I mean, Wes Brown, he's come in and done really well. I thought he had a good game again tonight. You know, he made a few key challenges to stop Wigan scoring. And yeah, I think Ferguson said after the game about, you know, the fact that once you have a set-up back four, it allows the rest of the team to be more calm and composed on the ball. So I think it shows with the last two performances. You know, scored five goals tonight and three against Hull at the weekend. So, you know, we're scoring goals again, which is obviously, always good.
What about the title race in a general sense, Dov? Arsenal winning tonight as well, 4-1. Pretty emphatic win themselves. Chelsea stumbling a bit, but they keep winning. It's really tight, isn't it? I think it's going to be between us three, though, isn't it? Chelsea, United and Arsenal.
Personally, I just think it's going to be between us and Chelsea. I don't think Arsenal have got the squad to sustain a title challenge. I think they've already... Well, they've got Fabregas is out. I think they've said 2 weeks. For me, I think it's been a bit optimistic. I think he'd be out for maybe a bit longer. Van Persie's out for the season, who is... I think he's a fantastic player. But for me, when it comes to once we've got the FA Cup again, back in the Champions League, and obviously the bread and butter of the Premier League, I think we'll struggle towards the end of the season. Whereas I think Chelsea and ourselves have got deep enough squads to cope with three or four competitions. And like you say about Chelsea, they keep winning. And that's, like you say, that's the mark of champions. But I think we've not really played very well all season. I think tonight was probably one of the first times this season we've actually looked like a really good cohesive unit. And we're only 2 points behind them, and the goal difference is coming down as well. So, I mean, I think Alex Ferguson would be pleased, and I'm quite pleased that going into the new year, 2 points behind, it's definitely what we play for. And we all know what happens at the turn of the year, and that's when we kick on. So I'm a bit optimistic.
Yeah, like you say, Dov, Ferguson said, didn't he, recently, that if you'd offered him that at the start of the season, 2 points behind the leaders at this sort of period, he'd have been quite happy with that. And like you say, it's good to see everything's ticking over. We've got the Champions League to come as well. Mouthwatering FA Cup tie as well against one of our older rivals in Leeds on the weekend, which we surely expect to win. So that will provide a bit more cheer as well. So, yeah, everything's going well at the moment. And well, let's look back at Sunday's victory while we're looking at the latest games. Hull City, 3-1 win away from home. Dan, it was a bit of a strange game for one Wayne Rooney, wasn't it? I mean, he had a bit of a nightmare by sort of gifting Hull a goal. But then, well, just as Wayne Rooney does, absolutely brilliant to sort of turn on the style.
Yeah, well, he's the focal part of the team, isn't he? I think everyone looks towards Wayne Rooney when they have the ball. Give it to Wayne, see what he can do with it. I mean, in regards to the game against Hull, I thought first half he was a bit sloppy, as the whole of the team were, really. But, you know, after he made that mistake, it seemed to wake him up a little bit. And obviously after that, he just looked like a man possessed. He didn't want that game to be lost. And, yeah, he was all over the show, and he's brilliant. Especially the assist for Berbatov as well.
Yeah, a bit fearful of the hairdryer treatment, because he did say that after the game as well. It was like he was lucky that he managed to get... managed to have a hand in the two winning goals. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but it's a good sense of responsibility as well, because I think, you know, he knows now that a lot of the United's play revolves around him, and he needs to step up. And I think it's good to see him that, you know, once he makes mistakes out there and tries to prove everyone, you know, what a good player he is. So it's fine if he makes a mistake, as long as he, you know, repays it. So it's not a problem. But, you know, he played well.
Even sort of going on, I know tonight's performance we were magnificent, but going on that, I mean, did that performance not worry you a little bit, because the whole team was sluggish and sort of there were, like you said, like a couple of times sloppy in possession, like pretty much the whole team were, and does that not worry you a little bit that the team can be so inconsistent? One game they just look terrible, and then like 3 days later they just look like a completely different side.
Yeah, but I think the majority of teams have gone through that this season. I mean, Liverpool are starting to come good now. They've won a few games on the bounce. Chelsea have obviously not taken advantage of our bad run of form. And we've been pretty poor as well. I mean, Arsenal have been fairly consistent. I don't necessarily agree with you in the fact that you think they're out of it, because I think they're only 4 points behind, if I'm right. I'm sure someone will tell me.
Yeah, no, I don't think they're out of it. I just don't think they'll sustain the challenge over the season.
Yeah, it all depends, doesn't it? I mean, who'd have thought that we'd have dropped points against the teams that we have dropped points against, you know? And it's just the way it goes. But I think we've got a decent squad. I think we'll be there or thereabouts, and I think Arsenal will be as well. But Chelsea are obviously the main challengers, because they've just got... They're a machine, aren't they, at the moment?
OK, well, we'll move on to the emails now. We've got a few. We'll start with Safi and Ben Zaire. He wants to know our views on Raphael and Thomas Kuchak, both been involved in the last couple of games. And we discussed Raphael in a bit of detail earlier on. But Thomas Kuchak, Dov, he's really staking a claim, isn't he? He's performing well. I mean, say Van der Sar was to come back next week. I know he's been allowed on compassionate leave at the moment, but say he was to return next week and be fit and ready to start. I mean, would he just come straight in, even though Kuchak is playing so well?
For me, I think Kuchak has earned his place, earned number one spot. I mean, Van der Sar has been out for a long time, obviously with injury, and now for family reasons, which we'll regret as well. But for me, Kuchak's really staked his claim, and Ben Foster had a chance at the start of the season, made mistakes, looked a bit shaky in pretty much every game he played, and Kuchak's came in and looked solid. And for me, he can't really do much more. He's got a chance, and he's taken it. So for me, he deserves to be the number one until he does something rubbish, which I hope to God he doesn't.
And Dan, Michael Hines, he's emailed in and asked sort of how long we think that the likes of Giggs, Scholes and Gary Neville can last at the top now. I mean, Raphael pushing on now to try and replace Neville and sort of make the right-back slot his own. We've discussed the abundance of central midfielders we have challenging Scholes. Giggs has been terrific this season. But, how long can you realistically see them carrying on at the very top level?
I think Giggs is the one who's got the best chance of carrying on for a while. Yeah, you know, maybe another two seasons. Who knows? I mean, he's obviously keeps himself in good nick. He does all the right things to keep himself in shape as well. And his performances have been as good as anyone's this season. I think Scholes can play for us in the games where we're at home and we're going to have a lot of the ball. I think he can make a difference there. But, I mean, in terms of Gary Neville, I think, like, with Raphael, you know, coming into it now, we've got Wes Brown who can play it right back. John O'Shea, when he gets back as well, will probably be the number one right back.
Our next email is from James McAllister, and he's asked a really interesting question. If there was one realistic January signing that you could make if you were United manager, I know Ferguson's ruled it out, but say you did. Dov, I'll start with you. Who would you sign? James has said Luka Modric. What about yourself?
It's really difficult. I mean, it depends what area of the team you want to strengthen. For me, I think it would probably be... I'd bring in a centre-back, to be honest, because I think with the injury problems we've had over recent weeks, I'd maybe say Simon Kjær of Palermo. There's a bit of a out-of-the-water one. I've been linked with him, but I think, obviously, considering his age and just his general performances in Serie A this season, I think he'd be a great addition.
Dan?
I'd like to see another left-winger come in, but, I mean, I've no idea who we would get now, because you need someone who's obviously going to be able to play in the Champions League. I'm struggling to think on the spot, really. That's definitely the position I'd go for, though. Get rid of Nani and bring somebody else in. Maybe Modric can play left-wing, can he? If needed, I suppose. But, so Modric isn't a bad shout. He's very technically gifted, and I think he'd fit in it, you know?
Yeah, it's a tricky one, isn't it? Because we're doing so well with the squad we've got already. Now, I've got every faith that Berbatov will eventually be sort of the top man at United. And he's doing all right as it is. I mean, he played really well tonight. Wasn't too bad against Hull without ever really sort of being the standout man. But I don't know. I guess I'd like to see Benzema in a United shirt, and he's reportedly having quite a few problems settling in at Real Madrid, so... Like you say, Dan, he wouldn't be able to play in the Champions League. That would be a big problem. But, I suppose...
You know. No, but if you had the opportunity to sign him, I think we would do.
Hmm.
Whether or not he can play in the Champions League. Because he's obviously a good player. But, obviously, he turned us down, didn't he, in the summer? So, I mean, would we want to go in for him again?
Hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. But he would be definitely an asset to have in the squad. And he'd challenge with Tom Rooney then up front. But you're talking about Berbatov, though. I mean, I don't think he's fully fit, to be honest with you. But he played well tonight without really doing anything majorly outstanding. But I think he's still a good player. You know, I'm a big fan of Berbatov, so we won't get into that.
Just sort of sticking on the transfers, boys. Do you think, what do you think about like the rumours about Vidic pretty much he's going to leave in the summer, and if Ferguson resigning himself to the fact that he's going to leave, do you think there's any truth in that, and do you think he'll stay or go?
No, he's not going to leave. Why would Vidic leave Man United now?
It doesn't like the weather.
Where's he going to go? Where's he going to go? You'd only go
Real
to
Madrid?
Spain. Well, why does everybody want to go to Real Madrid? I don't understand it.
Because of Real Madrid. That's the reason.
If you could have a choice, though, you'd go to Barcelona, wouldn't you? Not Real Madrid. Well, I would, personally, but it depends who you like.
Yeah,
they'd probably be in for him, though, wouldn't they, if they knew he was available, Barcelona?
Yeah. Yeah, and like they've been like Pepe just got injured for a season as well, and I don't know. Like apparently, Vidic doesn't like the weather in Manchester. So, but you think he'll stay, Dan?
Yeah, no, I think he'll stay. But I certainly hope he would. But I can't see any reason why he would leave unless obviously he gets a massive offer or the club get an offer that they can't refuse.
What about you, Steve? Do you think Vidic is going to be here or going to go?
I think he'll stay for another season at least. Hasn't he made it quite known that at some point in his career he wants to sort of try somewhere else? Or am I imagining that? But
I think you're right. I think you're right, yeah.
I think he will stay for another season. Possibly will he look at his leaving date when Ferguson looks at eventually calling it a day? I don't know. I mean, we don't know when that's going to be yet, but what's three or four years down the line, how old would Vidic be getting on, wouldn't he? So maybe that's would be a bit too late. I don't know. But I don't think he'll leave this summer. I certainly hope not anyway. Moving on to the final email. Troy, he's emailed in and asked us about Nani, guys. We've sort of discussed this quite a lot in the past, what we feel about Nani. And I know, Dov, you still think he's got quite a lot to offer. Troy thinks that as well, especially with the with us being involved in the Champions League and the title race and, of course, the FA Cup as well. Could be a useful player. Dov, you'd agree with that. Dan, I'll ask you, would you be tempted to keep hold of him, or is it time we just cut our losses and got rid of him in January?
I'd like to see him stay till the end of the season, see if he's got anything left to give. I mean, because if we sell him in January, we'll have to sell him to somebody who's not in the Champions League, I think, won't we? Because nobody will want to buy him unless they can play in Europe. But I think he's still got a future. I mean, he needs to start getting games, though. I mean, Ferguson's not playing at all. I'm surprised he wasn't on the bench tonight. I thought tonight would have been an ideal game to give him a run out in, unless he's injured or something, but I'm just a bit disappointed that we're not seeing him, much of him. Because how is he meant to prove that he's worth a place at United if he's not getting the games?
Yeah, I think that interview done, what was it, about a month or two ago now, that's really, really scuppered his chances of getting in the side. I mean, we know what happens when people sort of cross Ferguson, and I think that's not done him any favours whatsoever.
Yeah, but he didn't really say anything, you know, controversial. He was only making his point saying that he wants to play more games, which is, I think it's fair, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think there's places and times to do it, and I don't think doing it in the media is the place. I think if he's got any problems like that, it should be kept in-house. I mean, if I was a manager, I would be quite annoyed if a player that I was managing done something like that. And I think, like, we know what Alex Ferguson's like. He doesn't like players stepping out of line, shall we say. And maybe he's felt that he's stepped out of line. And well, since then, he's like, I think he's been on the bench once, I think, from the top of my head.
Okay, well, let's move on to features time now then, and the cabbage and player of the week to start with. Dov, start with you. We'll start with the cabbage of the week. It's a pretty tough one. I mean, two victories on the bounce. Is there anyone that sort of stands out that's been one of the worst performers from those two games?
I'm going to have to pick somebody from the whole game, and it's quite annoying because the same player could be my player of the week and he could be my cabbage of the week. I thought Valencia was absolutely abysmal at the weekend against Hull. It was terrible, and then obviously it got hooked for Park, but then tonight it was amazing. So I'm going to be even more controversial and make him a cabbage and player of the week for two contrasting performances.
Dan, what about you?
I thought that Jisung Park was pretty average again tonight. I mean, he did okay, but I mean, I thought he could have stamps on the game a bit more. And my player of the week, I think, would have to be Valencia, just for his performance tonight. I'm overlooking Wayne Rooney there, but I know Valencia really did have a storming game tonight. And he's one of the reasons why we won so well. So, yeah.
What about you, Steve?
It's tricky, isn't it? Because, to be honest, there wasn't anyone that performed that badly. I mentioned earlier that I thought Berbatov didn't really do anything too wrong against Hull, and in fairness, he didn't. I mean, he scored a goal, but yeah, it's really harsh, but I'm going to give it to Berbatov. And my player, I'm going to give it to Wayne Rooney, mainly for his performance against Hull, sort of giving away the goal, if you like, and then turning things around like he did was just absolutely superb. And then tonight as well, put in another really good shift, scored again, top goal scorer in the Premier League. Can't really ask for much more from him at the moment. So, yeah, Wayne Rooney is my player of the week.
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Well, it's the time of the podcast for Dov's Legends profile now. Dov, who have you got for us this week?
Well, Steve, we alluded to it last week. It's Albert Scanlon, who is died quite recently. So we're going to do him and give him a fitting RedCafe.net podcast send-off. I shall begin. Albert Scanlon was born on the 10th of October 1935 in Hulme in Lancashire in England. I'm just going to go right into the thick of things, really. It was basically, it was one of the Busby Babes, and it was involved in the Munich air crash, which happened in obviously February 1958, which we all know about. Luckily though, Scanlon, he survived the disaster, although his injuries were among the worst that any of the people who did survive suffered. He had a fractured skull, broken leg, a smashed shoulder, and he had lacerations all over his body. Luckily though, and remarkably as well, he actually recovered and played a full part in the following season. Played a few great games, scored 16 goals. But the season after that, though, it seemed as though his reaction to the disaster was a bit delayed, and he sort of went through a lot of trauma, sort of a lot of mental issues, and his confidence and form sort of deserted him. And he was then sort of transferred out of the club in 1960. He was a lightning fast, like two-footed winger, played mostly on the left. As I said before, he was a genuine Busby, came through the youth academy. And before he made his debut against Arsenal in November 1954, and he was always regarded as quite an inconsistent player. One match, he was absolutely brilliant, tear opposition defenders apart, and then the next match, he was rubbish. It was also said that his final pass let him down quite a lot as well. Although it's quite ironic, however, and the few weeks before the Munich air disaster, Scanlon had been in basically the best form of his life. He was magnificent in the 2-1 victory over Red Star Belgrade in the European Cup quarterfinals that year, and played in the United's 5-4 victory over Arsenal, Highbury, and was man of the match in that game as well. And that was only 5 days before the Munich disaster as well. It's a bit tragic that going at the Munich air disaster, he was in such great form. And the sort of returning from Belgrade involved in the crash there. And obviously he came back, and after then he was sort of forced out of the team, and it was a bit bitter because he didn't really get much insurance payments for his injuries he received. And it took 40 years for a testimonial match to be organised for him, so he didn't really get any financial backing from the club, and he was a little bit bitter about this. He signed for us when he was 17 years old in October 1952. Obviously, he was a Mancunian and loved the club dearly. He won the Youth Cup in 53 and 54, and he was 19 when he made his first team debut, I mentioned earlier. His main attribute was his pace. He was just I would like to call him a speedy Gonzalez type player. He was just so fast. Obviously, the championship triumphs in 1955, 56, and 56, 57 sort of brought him to the fore. And he won international honours for England at under 23 level. But never actually won a full cap though. But he was touted for a full cap before the disaster. So that's another sad tragedy there as well. Obviously, when he was let go, Matt Busby, he started playing Bobby Charlton in the sort of left inside forward, left wing role that Scanlon thought that was Scanlon's position, and Matt Busby felt that Bobby Charlton was better there, or Scanlon, he thought he was better there. He was then sold on to Newcastle United, only played 22 games for them, scored 5 goals. And then sort of moved to Lincoln City after that, and then Mansfield Town before sort of moving down the leagues, and sort of his career sort of petered out after that as well. Obviously lost confidence and things like that after sort of leaving United. He played 127 games for us, scored 35 goals, so it was around, well, for when he was around, he was in the team quite a lot as well. After he retired for the game, he ended up working as a dock labourer and as a factory night watchman. So I mean, obviously that's going back to the sort of the financial compensation that he didn't really receive after the Munich disaster and things like that. Although sadly, he was actually admitted recently, coming back to the present day, he was admitted to the Salford Royal Hospital with kidney problems and pneumonia on the 21st of October this year, which is 2009 at the moment. And he's been in intensive care for the last couple of months, and sadly died and on the 22nd of December 2009, aged 74. So Albert Joseph Scanlon is a legend of the club and one of the original Busby Babes, and one of the first time wingers to be at Old Trafford. So he is the legend this week.
Well, RedCafe.net welcomes Phoenix FM host Adrian Burke to the show ahead of Saturday's match against Leeds at Old Trafford. How are you, Adrian?
Yeah, very well, thank you, Danny.
Yeah, well, it's good to hear from you anyway. Right, we'll get into questions then. How has Leeds' season gone so far? I mean, are you expecting promotion this time around?
It's been going very well. The lads are believing in themselves. We're playing some good football. Top of the points clear with a game in hand. By the time we play you guys on Sunday, we could be 8 points clear with two games in hand. It depends what Walsall can do as they're at home to Charlton. We've got a JPT Northern final to look forward to. That's a Johnston's Paint Trophy. And yeah, I think this season has gone brilliantly well. And hopefully it'll continue as well.
Yeah, well, it's good to hear that Leeds are actually doing well, because we miss you in the Premier League.
We know you love us. You sing about us every week. So.
Well, in regards to this season, then, who's been your standout performer? I mean, will they be the man to watch in the Cup match?
I think the whole team have been fantastic. This season, only two teams have beat us, and that was Millwall and Liverpool. And throughout the whole of 2009, you know, we've only lost two at Elland Road, the first being Carlisle in the first game of 2009, and the second, of course, Liverpool in the Cup. And I thought we were lucky in both games we've lost them. But throughout the whole of 2009, we played 58 in all competitions. We've won 39. Drawn 10 and lost 8, and this season in all competitions we've played 32, won 24, drawn 6 and lost only 2. As for the players to watch out for, well, if we're to have any chance of winning the game, let's be realistic here, you know, if you ask any Leeds United fan, do they want to beat Manchester United? Yeah, of course we do. But if you ask them what's more important this season, you know, beat Manchester United at Old Trafford in a cup competition that unfortunately we've got no hope of winning, or get out of this division, every single one of them will be saying we want promotion. But if we are to have a chance of winning the game, it's going to have to be a collective effort, and one thing which we have in abundance is sheer raw pace. So I think the ones to watch would be Bradley Johnson, Robert Snodgrass and Jermaine Beckford.
Well, over the last decade, obviously the demise of Leeds United has been well documented. I mean, you were in a Champions League semi-final, challenging for the Premier League too. I mean, obviously, you had a very good team there. What was it like seeing them, you know, get ripped apart, falling down the leagues?
It's not nice. I mean, relegation for the Premiership, we had players capable of keeping us up that season. Okay, a lot was going on off the field. And at the end of the year, we'd lost most of the players. We were still paying players' wages. And the next season down, Elland Road and Thorpe Arch were sold off. I think we used about 50 different players that first season down under Kevin Blackwell. I think we ended up coming 13th or something like that. The next season, though, we got it all sort of looking good, and then we got to the final. I would say play a final kind of lucky in a way. I still can't believe we beat Preston to this day. But you know, we were exposed against Watford. You know, 3-0 defeat, and of course the following season, relegation, and we're again capable of keeping this up. You know, again, there was a lot going off, you know, on off the field. So, you know, Dennis Wise and Sean Derry saga, that was, you know, should have been handled differently. But, you know, the players we had, Healy, Blake, Cresswell, they've all played in the Premiership since, you know, and that's our strike force. You know, how can you not, you know, how can you go down with that? There's got to be something else. Then the following season, administration, 15 points. Deducted, and then we go all the way to Wembley in a playoff final, and you get beat by Doncaster Rovers last season again. You know, semi-finals, getting beat to Millwall. It's a bit disappointing. But this season, I think for the first time in a long time, I think the Leeds fans are really like what we're seeing. You know, we believe that Simon Grayson's the right man to take us back. The players enjoy playing for him. They want to play for him. And you know, one thing that we've lacked since going down was good form. we've finally got that now.
Well, saying about positivity, is that, you know, I mean, do you think you'll be back in the Premier League fairly soon then?
Well, I think it's pretty nailed on that we're going up this season. If we don't, then it's going to be gone from an amazing position to an extremely disappointing season, you know. I think, you know, it'll be a couple of years in the Championship before we go up, you know, or we might do what Leicester are doing, you know, push for the playoffs. I think we certainly can compete there. We've got no danger of, you know, being in a relegation dogfight, because if you look at this club at the moment, it's Premiership stature, there's no doubt about it. I think we've got a top-end Championship team. We're just in League One. It's a hell of a combination, but that's where we are, and we've got to deal with it.
Well, we know in the past that a few Leeds United players have moved to United over the years, the likes of Rio Ferdinand, Alan Smith, and obviously Eric Cantona. I mean, as a Leeds fan, what was it, you know, was it hard to take, especially, you know, when the players won trophy?
We say about them the better, but, you know, on the other side, you know, we've got two very good players coming from you. We've got Johnny Giles and Gordon Strachan.
Now, you had Lee Sharp as well, nothing wrong with him.
Lee Sharp, well, yeah. we got Lee Sharp, but I think Ferguson knew what he was doing when selling us into
him. Yes, I think he did, yeah.
You know, Johnny Giles, you know, even Sir Matt Busby said, you know, that was probably his biggest mistake as a manager, letting Johnny Giles go to Leeds, because he was a cracking player. Obviously, I'm too young to see him play, but, you know, from what I've seen, he was absolutely fantastic. Gordon Strachan, you know, he was my first hero, you know, and you thought, well, you're bringing this guy in, you know, from Manchester United. Has he passed it? No, he hasn't. He played some fantastic football, probably the best football of his career at Leeds. So, you know, it works both ways. And I think, you know, out of the top two players to have gone from both sides, it'd be Johnny Giles and, I hate to say it, but Eric Cantona.
Well, yeah, I mean, you let one go with Cantona, didn't you? I mean, it's obvious what he did with United. He transformed us, basically.
Yeah.
Just unfortunate from a Leeds point of view, I suppose.
Well, what I heard, and this is from actually reading Peter Ridsdale's book, your executive director, I can't remember his name at the time, you know, we were inquiring about Paul Parker, because we wanted a left back or right back, and they said, well, he's not for sale, but what about Lee Chapman? And Bill Fotherby at the time at Lee said, well, Lee Chapman's not for sale, but you can have Eric Cantona for $1 million. I think your lad at the other side nearly fell off your chair. You know, that's what Ridsdale says, but can you believe anything he says, though, with what he's done?
Right, I'll ask you one straight question now. I mean, if you were manager of Leeds United at this moment, you know, you had unlimited funds, which player would you go for? Would it be Rooney? Giggs? Who would you go for?
You know, that's actually a difficult question. Considering we're in League One, they wouldn't want to come down to League One, and they wouldn't want to come to Leeds, because, you know, there is rivalry between the two clubs, and, you know, there's a bit of debate on who's going to be playing for Manchester United on Sunday. I can tell you now that Gary Neville's playing if he's fit. Rio Ferdinand's playing if he's fit. Ryan Giggs is playing. Paul Scholes is playing. Michael Owen's playing. And Wayne Rooney will want to play. You know, they know what it's about. And, you know, we'll put out a full-strength side. For us, it'll be a test. As for players and money, you know, I think what we want to do is to really concentrate on, you know, bringing in players with a lot of potential and quality to get us back there. You know, I don't think there's any debate as to, you know, if we had money, we'd sign this and this. I think Leeds fans, you know, if we're making, you know, £30 million again, we're going to be raising a few eyebrows, you know, especially what happened last time. We did that. So, you know, I think, you know, going on to this game, I'd just like to say that, you know, we're looking forward to it. It's nice to rekindle, you know, a bit of rivalry, you know, because these aren't just one-off games. You know, we are rivals. You sing about us, we sing about you, you know. We're not expected to win the game, you know, but it's nice being the underdogs for a change. We've got nothing to lose, and you guys have got everything to lose. But, and as much as, you know, we don't like Sir Alex Ferguson, he's not a fool, and losing to us, it would be a disaster for you guys. I don't think you'll put out your strongest side, but I think you'll put out a side that's capable of winning the game. But for us, it's just purely a benchmark, and we're just concentrating on, you know, the season.
Right, well, that's great then. So, right, so you don't think you're going to win then at all?
No, I don't think we'll win. You know, it's not important. I just hope, you know, and I'm pretty certain the lads are going to give a very committed performance out there. And I think that's all what we can ask for as supporters.
No, you're right. Well, thank you, Adrian. Thanks for joining us on the show.
No problem.
Well, that was Leeds fan Adrian Burke from Phoenix FM. Dov, it's going to be really surreal, isn't it, playing Leeds again? I mean, considering it's been a good few years now since we played them. And when we did, there was always such a big rivalry. And Leeds were a decent side, weren't they? I mean, they were into Champions League semi-final. So it's going to be a bit weird, isn't it, playing a team that aren't half the side they were all those years ago. And do you think the rivalry will still be as intense?
Oh, yeah, it definitely will be intense. I mean, I can remember going to see United against Leeds when Leeds were good and we won 2-1. That was at Old Trafford. It was a great game. The atmosphere was great. I would call it banter, but it wasn't exactly banter. It was more... I don't want to swear on the podcast. Let's just say that. But there was quite a lot of back and forth between the fans, and I don't think that'll go away, especially since it's been so long since we've played them. But, I mean... I think going at the FA Cup game, obviously it is a cup game, there might be upsets, but we're better than them, end of the day. They're top of League One, and we're second in the Premier League. That says it all for me. I think we shouldn't. I think we'll have a team of youngsters out, and we should win quite comfortably, to be honest, and that'll be of great satisfaction to myself and many other United fans, I believe.
Yeah, well, I mean, my next question would have been about what team you think Ferguson will put out, and you mentioned you think there'll be a few youngsters. Dan, would you go along with that, or do you think there a few more experienced heads will be in there? I mean, Adrian mentioned that he thinks the likes of Rooney, Giggs, Gary Neville will start because of the fact that they know all about the rivalry, and it will mean a lot to them to get one over on Leeds. I mean, would you go along with that?
Yeah, well, I think that Gary Neville will start right back. I know he's on the bench tonight. I think Paul Scholes as well will probably play in midfield for us. And I'd like to see Owen up front. I think Welbeck will probably start. So I think it'll be a blend of experience and youth. I don't think you can play a full team of youth players against... Well, we probably would win against Leeds, but I mean, it's the occasion, isn't it? You know, the fans, it means so much to them. Obviously, Leeds will have quite a few supporters there with it being an FA Cup game as well. So it's one to look forward to, but I know that Ferguson... But a severely understrength team out just in case, you know, a shock did happen. We've already lost to Liverpool this season. We don't want to be losing to Leeds as well.
Do you think it'll be a, maybe not a sellout, but do you think there'll be plenty of United fans there to watch it?
Yeah, definitely. And like you say, I don't think it will be a sellout.
So I think it would sell out. It's a massive game. It's one of the biggest derbies in England.
Yeah, but I just think it makes a bit of a difference, you know, because Leeds aren't in the top tier anymore. I think it makes a bit of a difference on who will go and watch the game. I'm sure there'll be 75,000 there, but I don't think it'll be like, I can't imagine it being 76,000, 77,000. But I might be wrong, you know. But no, I think we should win. It'll be a good occasion. Like you say, it is quite a bit of rivalry, which is always heated. So it'll make for a good atmosphere as well.
All right, guys. Well, we're coming towards the end of episode 21 and the end of the year of the RedCafe.net podcast. And the end of the decade too. So why don't we look back at some of the best players we've added during the last decade and pick out our best 11, really. We'll run through a quick team. Goalkeeper, what, Van der Sar for everyone?
Barthez, no. Nobody's wanting Barthez.
I'd fancy Barthez. I thought he was a good keeper, a bit eccentric. But I mean, if you're going for a safe option, then we'd have to go Van der Sar. I would agree there.
Mark Bosnich, no.
No.
Taibbi, come on. Taibbi, he'd be a good sub.
Taibbi. What about back four, guys? Yeah, a little bit more difficult this time. I guess, what, Gary Neville at right back, arguably?
No, I'd go John O'Shea.
Yeah?
Get in, Dan, I love you.
Left back, I mean, I think you'd have to go with Evra.
Evra, yeah.
You can't really look past Evra there.
For Silvestre, no?
Yeah, Silvestre, I mean, he'd be... He'd be up there, but I think Everett just added a little bit more.
What about centre backs? Is that one pick itself? Vidic and Ferdinand. Right. Okay. Who are going to go right wing? You've got one or two players. You've got Dave B. That's David Beckham. Everybody
Dave
else.
B.
And Cristiano Ronaldo. Who is it going to be?
Hands down, Ronaldo for me. Definitely.
Yeah. It's got to be Ronaldo. Beckham. Brought a lot to. I think Ronaldo was just more dynamic and more powerful as well. So, and he's equal on set pieces. So I think Ronaldo.
Left, it's got to be Giggs, isn't it? Definitely.
I don't know. I think Quinton Fortune's got a shout there.
No, yeah, definitely Giggs. Nobody would argue with that. I can't imagine.
And then in the middle, Scholes and, well, there's a few. Arguably Carrick. Roy Keane was bit at the end of his career, wasn't he, the last decade, but still influential.
I'd have to have Keane in there just because he was, like, even though it was his last days, he was a driving force and he was just, he was key. It would have to be Keane. Keane would have to take one of them for me.
I personally rate Michael Carrick, so I'm going to go with Carrick in there, but I don't know who.
Scholes, surely.
Yeah, possibly Scholes. I'm thinking more like Jemba Jemba or Liam Miller, though. I mean, they could form a great partnership in the middle.
Hey, Dan, I see Liam Miller play a couple of weeks ago up here in Edinburgh, and he was amazing. He ran the
really?
Show in the Scottish
Premier. Does he play for Hibs now?
He plays for Hibs now, yeah. He absolutely ran the show. We definitely missed a trick there by letting him go.
Well, he was the next Roy Keane, just because he was Irish. But on a serious note, yeah, Carrick and... Yeah, I'd have to go with Scholes. Although I was a massive fan of Veron, but didn't quite click.
See, I would agree with you in there. I think Veron was a great player, and
Veron,
he had
honestly,
some amazing games as well.
Veron in Europe was possibly our best player in Europe. He controlled every game he played in, really. And in some of the Premier League games as well, he played well. But he just got a bit of stick because he didn't get stuck in. I think there was a period in one of the seasons, it might have been 2003-04, where Beckham was injured. Must have been, no, 2002-03 it must have been. Beckham was injured and Veron played. And, we went on a good run of games, and then as soon as Beckham came back, Veron got shifted and, Ferguson played 4-4-2 again, so.
Yeah, I didn't think Keane and Veron could play well together either. I think Keane, really, he did, like you say, didn't really like his lackadaisical style.
Yeah.
And up top, got to be Ruud van Nistelrooy, definitely.
Yeah, has to be. And who else?
Who else but Wayne, surely.
Rooney? What was Saha, no?
He was a decent player, but it's just his injury problems were too much.
Do you think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was sort of past it by then as well? I mean, he had a good chunk of the decade.
Yeah, well, not past it, but yeah, I think the 90s were his sort of heyday, weren't they? For me it's Rooney and Van Nistelrooy. Well, that was our views on the team of the decade. Do send an email to us, podcast@redcafe.net, and let us know your views, whether you agree or disagree. Yeah, that's just about it for the final show of the year. We'll be back next Monday or Tuesday to record a show prior to the big League Cup semi-final against Manchester City. Yeah, so thanks a lot for listening, and we'll see you next week.